Accession number 20808, Reel 2.
John Morris, Reel 2. Can you tell me what you remember about these 12 operations?
The first one was on the island of Var, near the little place called Yelsa, J-E-L-S-A. They call it Yelsa. And we were attacking this house, which was full of Germans. And of course, these were, in those days, they were very heavily fortified, all the islands in Dalmatia, on the Dalmatian coast, as they called it, were very heavily defended. And this operation was, I could say, was successful. We have achieved our objective when we stirred up a hornet's nest. We lost an officer called Captain Bear, who was went into this house. He was OC of number 2 troop, and he went into this house and went up the stairs, cleared a couple of rooms, went into another room, and he was shot and mortally wounded. He died on his way back to Viz. We also, we thought we'd lost another chap. We're reading in the book later on. I didn't know at the time, but a chap by the name of Kelly. And he was wounded. And we all withdrew from the island, went back to Viz and left him behind because he thought he was dead. When he turned up a couple of days later with this wound in his chest that you could put your fist in, and he was then evacuated to Italy, and later on he rejoined us. That was one incident.
What was your own part in that operation at Yelsa?
We were just attacking this, I was just in a troop, an assault troop, you know, let him blast at everything that moved, sort of thing. And it was to, we knew we couldn't do much, but it was, I mean, the commanders at the time, in fact, I think we were the only commandos that were doing what we were trained for, and that was raiding. Because after, in the middle of the war, the commanders were really treated as glorified infantry. If there was anything, you know, that was, you know, anything that was tough. And it was the commanders that were sent in. I mean, that's what annoys me, really. You know, we don't seem to be recognized in anything like that. Anyway.
What would you be armed with, personally?
I had a Tommy gun. I ended up with a Thompson submachine gun.
Were you happy with that?
It was a weapon. It could stop anybody. I mean, it fired a 4.45 bullet. You know, and it was pretty big. I mean, it would, you know, put a good hole in somebody. I mean, it'd really stop them. What was the next operation? Shalta. Yeah, that was it. That was a perfect operation. As far as combined operations, that was the most perfect operation, I think, in the whole of the war, or one of the perfect operations. We landed on this island called Shalta, S-O-L-T-A, and we landed early in the morning. We were all carrying ammunition up over these little walls of the vineyard walls. I know the operation could have been successful because I think we made an awful lot of noise. And there was this really fortified town called, I think you would pronounce it Grote, Grohto. And it had about 200 Germans defending it. We surrounded it, well, just like a horseshoe. And we were waiting, all got in position after we dropped off the mortars, you know, because we all had to carry something besides your own ammunition. We had to carry either mortar bombs and different things like that, and boxes of ammunition, and leave it off at a point, you see. And then we all got into our positions behind these little walls, vineyard walls. And we were waiting for these Kitty Hawk dive bombers to come in, RAF Kitty Hawk dive bombers. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, this is about March, I think, March, April. About 6 o'clock in the morning, they came in, took out all the main defences. They were marvellous, you know. I mean, no friendly fire, you know, no friendly fire there. It was, because we were in tight, really a tight perimeter around this town. And they came in and they peeled off again. And Jack Churchill got on the old megaphone. And they had, we had a number of German Jews in all the commandos, and they were actors as interpreters, and they were also used in interrogation purposes. And this, I don't know who he was, anyway, they shouted to the Germans to surrender, and if they didn't, there was, you know, like more to come. Well, the German commander didn't come out, so then they went again, and then we went in. Quite a lot of street fighting, which is rather horrendous, because your stomach is really, you know, knotted up, and the adrenaline. You know, I'm surprised, you know, how we could do this sort of thing. You know, looking back. And we only suffered two casualties. And I always remember one. The Germans started to surrender, and there was a machine gun poster in front of us, a Spandau. See it vividly now. And a young chap by the name of Cox. He was a police intake. Police intake. There were a lot of police volunteered for the commandos. We called them the police intake. And of course, we're taught, I don't know whether he was a latecomer or not, he may have been. But anybody shows a white flag, you don't get up straight away. And that silly devil did, didn't he? Of course, he got a full, probably a belt of, you know, in the stomach. Down he went. Anyway, we went in. We were so so angry. I mean, nobody came out of that alive. And we got him on the stretcher and we carried him back. Well, before that, our MO chap by the name of McWilliams, Captain McWilliams, hell of a nice chap, you know, he's, and I can picture it now, this chap, he's laying on the stretcher, all his inside was all spewed out, and he got this, what they call some thalamide powder, with his, put an antiseptic. He sprinkled that all over and he got his insides, you know, picked it up, put him back in, you know, stitched him up. But he died, you know, he lived for 2 days after that. We managed to get him back. Well, we took partly all our dead back, if we possibly could, and buried them in the Naval Cemetery in Viz. And that was that operation. As I said, it was a perfect operation.
Would you use your green beret or helmets in the attack?
We had helmets. A lot of the commandos, yes, had their green berets, but old Jack made us wear helmets. Well, there used to be in a lot of situations where there used to be where the Jerrys would put up airbursts, what they call airbursts. You know, that was shells exploding above your head, which can be very horrendous at the time. Then I did two on Bratch. Yeah, I think that was the next one.
Any memories of those?
Captain Barton, Lieutenant Barton, I should say, took an 8-man patrol in middle of March, I think it was. And as I said, he killed the German commandant in this town or village in Narajisti on Brač. He took this 8-man patrol and decided to try and capture the commander, the German commander, or commandant, as they called him. And he went into his house, but he broke down he had a Sten with a silencer on it. And he broke it down, you know, took it to pieces, put it on the back of a donkey that was carrying wood, firewood, went into his house, knocked on the door. He had two partisans with him, and he went in, and he went into the rooms, and he went into this one room, and he was just coming out, and he saw this something glitter, and it was this commandant's Iron Cross. So he shot him and took away, you know, some papers, and we managed to get away. And then...
Were you on that raid?
No, I wasn't on that one. Then a couple of weeks later, there were three of us. This Fred Houseman, Lieutenant Barton, Fred Houseman and myself. We went back to Brač. Of course, at that time, I hadn't realised that Lieutenant Barton had done this, you see. Because there was already a price on his head for that. So, I mean, if we had been captured, I mean, we would have... Because we were... Especially in Yugoslavia, I mean, Hitler's commando order was well in...
Operation.
In operation then. We stayed on that island for 10 days, dodging the enemy. Then we went to a little place. Oh no! Before that, we were in caves. We were hidden up in caves with the partisans.
On Brač.
On Brač. And Lieutenant Barton said, he said, get your heads down, you know, for a couple of hours. He said, we're not going to go anywhere, you know. By that time, it was pretty dark, and of course, we were fumbling around and felt these bodies. And God managed to push myself in between these two bodies, you see. Because I had a, you know, about an hour shut eye, and because it started to get light. Of course, when I could see, I was sleeping between two partisan women. And because what shocked me more than anything, they had their grenades buttoned to their lapels on their pockets. They had battle dress blouses, you see. And they had them, you know, through the pin. I thought, God. And, you know, that was really laughable, that was. But because there was an order. Oh, sorry. There was an order. There was no, well, I suppose no fraternization. Really. I mean, you couldn't get talking to them or anything like that, because, I mean, their discipline, as far as the women were concerned, I mean, that was, even amongst, the, I mean, the discipline in the partisan army was very, very tough, you know. It was, I mean, anything looting or any indiscipline and that, because they had these commissars, and they ruled the roost. Because there was a story when we arrived on Viz, there was a patrol came back, because we were sending out patrols around this island. And they came back, and their faces were as white as sheets. And it was quite some time before we could, you know, ask them what had happened. And they witnessed, I don't know whether it was two or three women being executed because they were pregnant. That's how tough their discipline was. There were no children, not young children, babies or anything like that. You did see young boys who were drafted into the partisan army. They used to be used as runners. And but anyway, that's from then we did an operation on. Going back to Bratch, sorry. Attacked this little place, like a little fishing village, only three of us. And I had a Sten with a silencer on it. I always remember that damn gun. The bolt action made more noise than the bullet. You know, it had crackled back and forth. Because there was no wood on these, you know, to take the noise out of these things. Anyway, we had to attack this house that had eight Germans in it.
This is still Bratch?
This was Bratch. This was the other side of the island. Crumbs. Yeah, we just, dead at night, it was pitch black. We attacked this little house. It's full of, there were eight Germans in there. Of course, these damn dogs started barking. It gave their way. Anyway, this Fred shouted out, you know, to surrender. And there was some firing coming our way. And like we were just tucked behind this corner. And the lieutenant, I was cooping down, and Lieutenant Barton was behind me, you know, just looking round this corner. And he was lucky because a bullet hit the corner and just skipped the top of his helmet. So aware of that, I could see the two silhouettes by the door. So I got out a hand grenade, pulled the pin and threw it, and took these two Germans out. With that, Fred Hausman said, you know, surrender. He said, we're English. And six of them came out with their hands up. One was an officer. we took them. Of course, we started to have an argument with the partisans because we wanted them for interrogation purposes, and the partisans just wanted to, I mean, they were no use to them because they hardly took prisoners because it just meant feeding them and, you know, looking after them, you know, putting somebody to look after them. Anyway, we eventually got back to Viz, where they were interrogated. And then the next operation was Millets. M-I-Y-L-E-T. It's pronounced Millet. And we had a chap out of the name Royal Navy. I don't know whether he's, you've heard about him, Admiral Cohen. He was in his, he was well into his 80s. He used to wear his navy cap, and he used to be in khaki drill with his shorts that came down well below his knees. And he always was, his ambition was to be killed in action. And he'd come on all the operations if he could. And he eventually came on this operation on Millet. And he was clambering up over these hills and, you know, just like a two-year-old. He seemed fitter than what we were. But we came under a lot of sniper fire. That we took a number of casualties. So we eventually withdrew from that one. So I don't suppose that was successful. We found out after that the Germans had come out to surrender, and of course we'd already gone. Of course, as soon as they realised they were partisans there, they went back into their hideouts again. But we did. We used to go on boarding parties. We used to go on. There were a couple of flotillas of MTBs and MGBs in Viz and in Camisha, which is the other town, little town, fishing village on the island. And they used to say, right, volunteers to go on boarding parties, and there used to be six. Go on board these craft, go out just after dark, just after it got dark. We'd be armed with grenades, phosphorus grenades, and either Stens or Tommy guns, mostly Sten guns. And three of us used to be on starboard and port side of the boat. Go over to the islands then, because that was the only way that Germans could be supplied, was either the coast road or by sea. And we'd haul up in a little cove waiting for these schooners, these cakes to come down. You could hear them for miles. You hear the old diesel, pop, 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 and you're coming down. Sometimes they'd be small coastal craft, mostly small coastal craft. And they'd open up the old commander of the MGB or the MTB would open up and go out and try and get them to surrender. Or if they didn't, you know, let all hell loose. Bruce. And there's one time there's a patrol went, a boarding party went out, and they came back with this cake full of Danish butter in little barrels, Danish butter. Oh, that was beautiful. Of course, the partisans used to like our hard tack biscuits. And they had bread, you see, nice bread, so we used to swap.
Why did they prefer?
I don't know. I don't know why they preferred our hard tack biscuits to the bread. I suppose they could keep them longer, I suppose. You know, they'd, and then. That was very interesting, life on Viz. It was a rather unusual island. I mean, you're going back to 1811. Because I suppose I've gone on too far, haven't I? To meant to talk about Viz. There were two forts on Viz. One was called Fort George and the other one was called Fort Wellington. And in 1811 there was an English squadron of frigates fought the French, and there were English seamen buried in the naval cemetery on Viz, and that was 1811. From there we did a number of other small operations which were really insignificant. I mean, same as before, you know, making yourself a damn nuisance. In the end, I mean, it wasn't worthwhile raiding because the Germans were all in heavily defended. I mean, they were all in houses, you know, fortified houses, which you could pick off willy-nilly sort of thing. But then when they started to, you know, get into a big fortified position, we would have taken too many casualties, because I mean, you have to remember that a commando unit there were only about 360 men in a commando unit. You had five assault troops plus a heavy weapons troop with 3-inch mortars and Vickers machine guns. And that was a really, oh, we had the Piat, you know, the anti-tank projectile, which wasn't a bit of good. Unless you wanted to commit suicide, you had to get 25 feet in front of a tank before it was effective. As I said, then we, in September, we went back to Italy, to Malfetta, where we did some more training. Then there was an operation in Albania near a town called Himara, about in the middle of, between Sarandi and Trieste and Tirana. It was on the coast, and it was an operation that to try and cut the coast road coming up from Greece. We were on two LCIs, landing craft infantry, and we landed early in the morning. These damn dogs started again. We got in position, and below there we got into this olive grove. We had to go up these, climb this hill to the German positions, and they were German positions there. I mean, it was in hard rock. Their slit trenches were in hard rock. They were about 3 foot, 3 foot, 4 foot deep. And this main position that they had on top of this hill, we lost quite a number of men there. I can always remember we had a chap called Captain Stillwell. I always remember him, and he got hit in the groin. So saw him laying there, and I got his field dressing tied it, you know, as tight as it possibly could. I said, "You all right, sir?" He said, "Yeah." Anyway, we managed to get him back to the